knows where.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. O my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love Thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love Thee. Now, of course, that's the beautiful angel prayer that the angel of peace, the angel or the guardian angel of Portugal, told the children at Fatima, Francisco, Jacinta, and Lucia in 1916, just over 100 years ago. Anyway, welcome to Alive. This is Claire here, and thank you once again for joining me. Now, we had a bit of a hiccup a couple of weeks ago. I wasn't able to come in because of family commitments, so they played a program from earlier in the year. So I hope you don't mind, and I hope you didn't really notice. But I'd like to just do something a little bit different today. 2 weeks ago, I was invited to give two talks on Fatima at a Legion of Mary conference in actually a Marian Day in Onehunga on the 7th of October, which of course is the great feast of the Rosary. And it commemorates the great victory. In fact, it was originally called the Feast of the Victory of the Rosary, and it commemorated the great battle of Lepanto, the victory by the Holy Catholic League over the Muslim forces in 1571 on the 7th of October. But the victory has been dropped, the Feast of the Rosary. So anyway, the first talk was pretty much all about Fatima, about the children, about their families, the apparitions, what the angel said, what Our Lady said, and what she asked us to do. But in the second talk I gave, and they were both 45 minutes long, I actually went over, I actually explained how the errors of Russia, which Our Lady warned us about, have spread throughout the world. In fact, in 1946, the very famous author Thomas Walsh met Lucia and asked her, was communism going to spread over the whole world? And she said yes. Now, some people today would say, well, that's silly, you know, communism died. Well, actually, no, communism has not died. It has simply morphed, and the name has changed. It's changed from socialism, or communism to socialism, I should say. And in fact, at the revolution in 1917, Lenin and his comrades hoped that the revolution would spread. But of course, because it wasn't really an uprising of the people, it was actually an elite class that imposed it on the people. People in other countries didn't want a bar of it. There was a few little skirmishes in a few neighbouring countries, but it didn't work. So what did the communists do? They decided that they would have to do something else to spread the revolution. And why it wasn't spreading is because the West, the Christian West, was relatively stable, it was happy. It didn't really want revolution. The people were nationalist, they loved their countries, they were sick of war, and they just wanted to get on with their lives and just lead happy, productive lives. So a group of communists decided that they would have to destroy the West, and what to destroy Christianity. So they devised a plan, and they called it cultural Marxism, and they decided to have a cultural war on the West. Now, it started with a group of communists in the 1920s, and they founded a school called the Frankfurt School. Now, this school had the same plans as the communists. They wanted to destroy the family, destroy the bond between the parents and the children. They wanted co-education, government controlled, etc., etc., etc. But they went further. They realised that to destroy the culture, you would have to destroy morality. And therefore, they decided to attack the morals of the West. And they were going to do this by introducing drugs and pornography. They were also going to glorify other types of sexual activities, for example, homosexuality and gender issues. They were also going to make victims of people, and it was called critical theory. So you had to criticize everything. So who were the victims? The victims were going to be black, they were going to be women, and they were going to be the homosexuals. So this was way back in the early 1920s. So they were still around 10 years later, but with Hitler on the uprise and he was attacking the Jews, and these people were all Jewish, they decided to head to Hollywood. So during World War II, all these people were in Hollywood. So it's not surprising that within the next 10 years, all of the wholesome programs started having sort of innuendo in them, and then 10 years later, etc., subliminal messages, to the point today that producers of 70 years ago would not really recognize what we have on our television screens today and also at the movies. But it is a direct result of these cultural Marxists. So very, very interesting. And of course it was a plan against God, because he, when he created the world and Adam and Eve, he told them to go forth and multiply. And I haven't talked about a very fascinating thing. God told people to look for signs, and signs in the sky. So what were the signs in the sky? Well, the signs in the sky were actually the stars, and the stars were in a map. And the earliest star map was 6,000 years old. They have actually tracked it back. And, of course, in those times, when you didn't have pollution, etc., 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 it was very, very clear to see all of the little individual stars. And so in the sky, there are 12 zodiacs, and there are actually 36 decans. So that's a total of 48. And there's hundreds and hundreds of minor stars. And they actually, in a belt across the sky, and they produce a story. And it is very, very interesting. You can go to Jonathan Gray, Strange Signs in the Sky on the net. Very, very interesting. I've seen the DVD myself. And the story is that a devil attacked the world, a virgin son fought the devil and was victorious, and peace was restored. That's in a nutshell, very, very quickly. So this was in the signs, in the sky, for people to see. So who named all of these stars in the sky? Well, actually, in Isaiah 40, in 26, also in Psalms 147:4, God named them. He gave Adam infused knowledge. And so Adam named them with the knowledge he had from God. So, okay, we the first attack against the church, which was very, very noticeable, was in 1517, 500 years ago, when Luther said, I will not serve. Just like Satan did to God, I will not serve. And of course, what was all this about? Henry broke away from the church, and this was all over marriage and divorce and the family. So It's interesting that 500 years later, we have a total breakdown of marriage. We have a redefinition of marriage. We have expansion of marriage and the understanding that it's not a lifelong commitment between one man and one woman and to beget children. So very, very interesting. So as about 9 or 10 million people left the Catholic Church at that time, the same number came into the church in the New World, and that was through the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now, we must do some programs on that at a later date, but we won't look at that a moment. Anyway, towards the end of the 1500s, early 1600s, we have another Marian apparition, which I've spoken briefly about. Our Lady appeared to Mother Mariana de Jesu Torres, a Conceptionist nun, and in Quito, Ecuador, and Our Lady asked her if she would be a victim soul for the 20th century. And when Our Lady showed Mother Mariana visions of this time, she nearly died from fright because of the total anarchy that she saw. She also said that it would not be known until the 20th century, and this has happened. February the 2nd, 1634, which is the Feast of the Purification, the sanctuary light kept going out in the chapel, and a lady explained that in the mid-20th century there would be an almighty crisis in the church. All hell would break out, and Satan would rule through Freemasonry. As I said, she nearly died from shock of the state of the church. The world was awash in heresy, impiety, and impurity. Our Lady said, woe to the children of the time. There would be virtually no virgin souls, no religious. Monasteries and convents would abandon their rules. And sadly, the behaviour of some of the priests and prelates would cause weak Catholics to abandon the faith and anti-Catholics to attack the faith. And at the same time, rich Catholics stood on the side and did nothing. There would be a horrendous chastisement, and when it all seemed that everything was lost, Our Lady would intervene and there'd be a complete restoration of the church. So where are we at this point? Well, things are not looking good. So bring on the restoration, I say. And of course that ties in with Fatima and the triumph of Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. So anyway, what happened 200 years later after the Reformation? We have 1717, which is the official formation of the anti-Catholic Freemasonry. Now, Pope Paul called it the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of lawlessness, this inversion of truth. And the popes described Freemasons as the partisans of error. And within 20 years, every pope since then has condemned Freemasonry. In fact, they call them, they come in the guise of sheep, but in truth, they're nothing but ravening wolves. Now, this is a very interesting comment, because when Pope Benedict became pope, one of the first things he said, pray for me that I'd to the ravening wolves. And was he alluding to the Freemasons infiltrated inside the church? And they are there, that's for sure. We know that. Anyway, 1830, you've got the Age of Mary in Rue de Bac, and where she gave St. Catherine Labore the miraculous medal. But we also have 1846 in La Salette in France. Two children, Maximum and Melanie, were herding their cows, and they were having an afternoon nap, and when they woke up, they saw this globe and a lady sitting inside it crying. And she said that her son's arm of justice, she couldn't hold it back much longer. And she made some predictions that in 1864, the devils would be loosed from hell. And this would all be revealed in the Luciferian archives of Freemasonry. Rome would be infiltrated. It would lose the faith. The apostles of the last times would be small. They would have to live in poverty and humility to enlighten the earth. Saint Michael would cast Satan down to hell. The earth would tremble, and it would be eventually purified by water and fire. It would be renewed. And this was all approved within 5 years because a lady made some very, very devastating predictions. She said that the potatoes would rot, and they had rotted the year before, and from there they spread to Ireland. The grapes would rot. Throughout the whole of France, the grapevines rotted. They had to be renewed, actually, from America. She also made a prediction that very shortly, within a few years, children under the age of 7 would die from a mysterious illness, and within a few years, 750,000 children under age 7 did in fact die from this illness. Then you've got the dogma of the Immaculate Conception in 1854. 1858, you've got Lourdes about, again, the rosary. So what happened in 64? Which were the devils loosed from hell? Very interesting. It was the first Communist Internationale. So this was the first public meeting in London of the Communist Party. And, of course, communism, as Marx said, it was born in secret societies of Freemasonry. So he admitted that. And, in fact, Marx was just a hired hack. He was commissioned to design a philosophy around communism to make it palatable to the people. Because let's face it, who's going to agree to give up all of their property, not to have inheritance, to be taxed and progressively more and more and more? Who's going to give up their children? You know, all of these crazy things. And this was communist philosophy. Anyway, Marx himself was a Satanist, as a lot of these people were. And it's all in his poetry. He said, "My soul was made for the devil." And he bragged about being the man who would drag God down from heaven. And he was very open. He didn't want to reform society, but he wanted to destroy it, and he wanted to laugh doing it. Charming man. Anyway, Father Gobi, who died recently, Marian Movement of Priests, he identified in the Apocalypse the black beast is Freemasonry, which works in the shadow, and the red dragon is communism. So what was their long-range plan? As I said, to destroy Christianity and all Christian ideas, the deification of sensuality, confiscate private property, destroy morality, destroy marriage, state adoption of children, universal license, progressive income tax, and have a central bank. Now, of course, Marx admitted that if you have a central bank in a country, you're already 90% there of the country. Now, we have that great vision of Pope Leo XIII on the 13th of October 1884, when he had just celebrated Mass in his private chapel and he fell down as if dead or in a trance. And when he came to, he said he had heard a horrible conversation. One was a lovely voice, which he identified as our Lord, and the other was a ghastly guttural voice. And the guttural voice, Satan, said to our Lord, "I can destroy your church, but I need more time and more power over those who will give themselves over to me." Our Lord asked him, "How much time do you need? 75 or 100 years?" And our Lord said, "You can have it." Now, whether this is the last big test that we between God and Satan, that we have to choose between good and evil, who knows? But this is a pope, and popes have often been prophets or have visions, and so this is not uncommon. So at that point, he quickly rushed off and composed the very long St. Michael's Prayer. Now, the St. Michael's Prayer we have today is a much shortened version, but if you want to go online, you can find the long one, and it's very enlightening. So, what are the errors of Russia? Well, of course, it's communism. Now, Lenin said that the success of any revolution was only as good as the participation of women. He understood that to be successful, you had to corrupt the woman. you had to get them on board with all of this. So why would women want to destroy marriage? Why would they want to destroy parent-child relationships? Well, of course they didn't, but they were drawn into this unwittingly. And as I explained before, this was not of the people, this was imposed on the people. It's all about divide and rule. Divide everyone up into groups, fighting each other, and then the rulers just stand over the top of them and laugh, basically. And the ends justifies the means. And also, there was no lies in communism. There is no such thing as a lie, Lenin said, if it furthers the cause. So the Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, how is this so popular when it's called, you know, hundreds of millions of people, literally, in the last 100 years? And he said, because communists have all zeal and no truth, and Catholics have all truth but no zeal. Okay, I explained to you a little bit about the 1920s Frankfurt School and the Cultural Wars and their ideas to create racism offences, promote excessive drinking, empty the churches, have a very unreliable legal system and a bias against victims of crime, creating dependency on the state through state benefits. This is very important, to control and dumb down people through the media and encourage the breakdown of the family, attack and belittle fatherhood, deny roles of mother and father, to educate boys and girls the same, overthrow traditional roles for men and women, pansexualism, pleasure, and as I explained before, declare woman the oppressed class, men are the oppressors, and use women, blacks and homosexuals to agitate. Now this is 100 years ago. Does this sound familiar today? So these are the eras of Russia. So is it dead? Well, Hilaire Belloc was a very, very famous Catholic writer about 100 years ago, and he said, today it is called communism. In the future, it will be called the Antichrist. It's very interesting, Edgar Bandel, when Our Lady appeared there, she said to Conchita about when communism comes again. And so the people asked Conchita, what do you mean? Is it going to go away? And Conchita said, well, I don't know. That's just what Our Lady said. So the point is, sure, the Berlin Wall came down in 1989. The Soviet Union changed. But has communism gone away? Well, ask the people in China. I don't think so. In fact, I heard the president of China just gave a 3.5-hour speech today about the strength of the Communist Party. So things have not changed. And then, of course, we've got people like Saul Alinsky, and Obama and Hillary were his protégés. And he wrote a book called Rule for Radicals. And he dedicated it to the devil. Now, his mode of operation was never give up. Pressure, pressure, pressure from every single angle. Just bamboozle people until they give up. Well, we're going to have to finish the program. I'm sorry, ran out very, very quickly. Let's do another one next week and just see exactly how communism has completely taken over society.
Who knows where, but I'm strong, strong enough to care.